It's my pleasure this morning to speak to Ilana Weiler in Israel about her experience with EFT and specifically her work around allergies, which is an area that so many people suffer from and EFT can be very, very effective with. So before we go any further, welcome, Ilana.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing over there?
I'm fine, thank you. Happy to hear you and talk to you.
Good, likewise. I thought we'd start by you telling us a little bit about you, yourself, your practice, how you got into EFT.
Okay.
And, you know, anything okay. else that, that helps us lead to where you are today.
All right. I think as many people, I met the EFT by mistake, you know. I was working many years as a practitioner using kinesiology and one brain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine said, you know, I heard about this strange technique someone is teaching tonight. Would you like to come with me? And I said, yes, great. And we went to hear this lecture. It was at the time, I'm talking about 8-9 years ago.
Right,
and
yeah.
You know, EFT was presented, you know, in 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these short workshops. And to be honest with you, I thought it was really strange and not serious.
Okay.
You know, this woman handed this one paper, EFT on a page, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, this is ridiculous.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, nice, you know. I spent 3 hours here. I heard something. Okay. Mm-hmm. And... you know what? I know it sounds strange, but this is the truth. I think that after a day or two, I dreamt of the EFT all night.
Oh, wow.
And it was such a strange experience. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to try it. And I started using it on myself on different occasions. And suddenly I felt so good and so connected to it.
Mm.
And I just added it to my practice. Using the one brain and kinesiology, and slowly but surely it just became my main tool, because, you know, I was really overwhelmed with love to this technique.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Tell me a little bit about one brain, actually, just briefly, because that's not something I know of.
Okay. It's a part of kinesiology. Kinesiology is a part of one brain, actually.
Oh, okay.
And it's it uses muscle testing,
mm-hmm.
but it's a very broad and interesting format of dealing with really all problems, physical and emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, in every part of it, you just use muscle testing.
Oh, okay.
And get answers from whatever part it is. You know, people define it in different terms: the higher self, the soul, the part of the brain. But it's very interesting. It's very, very strong.
So do you use muscle testing with your EFT work?
I use it sometimes, not as a rule. Sometimes when I feel that there's a need for it, I would use it.
Because mm-hmm. I've found the only people who are really effective with muscle testing, in my experience, are people who've already done a kinesiology training, actually.
It's true. People that done any energetic work. I see that people that use Reiki, for example,
mm-hmm.
or do yoga.
Okay, they're good at muscle testing, are they?
Sorry?
They're good muscle testers, are they?
Yes, because their energy is more balanced.
Yeah, okay. I've never been able to manage muscle testing effectively.
Yes, I know it's strange.
But no, I'm full of admiration for those of you that do. Okay, so you were talking, well, we spoke by email, actually, about kind of your work with allergies in particular.
Yes, yes.
So do you want to tell me how you got into that? Because that's a fascinating area. Absolutely fascinating.
Yes.
So much about.
You know, I am quite strange because I got caught in this subject lately.
Uh-huh.
Just lately, after so many years of working with the EFT.
Mm-hmm.
I did work with people on allergies, but to be honest with you, it never really attracted me, this whole area.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a part of it that felt to me like more dealing with substance allergies or environmental allergies that wasn't very attractive to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
then what happened?
And then what happened? What happened was that I worked with this woman It was unbelievable because I suddenly realized that this whole subject of allergies is not a different group in our work. Mm-hmm. At the moment, that's how I always felt about it. That mm-hmm. allergies is something else. Mm-hmm. Okay. And suddenly I realized that it's so strong in terms of, actually, it's a traumatic reaction.
Of course, absolutely.
Yes, it's a traumatic reaction. And I knew that, and I worked with people on allergies, but it was always like, you know, we're trying to find the emotional underlying trauma, okay, as everything. But then one day I read some articles by Sandy Radomski, you know, I think I owe her.
Yeah, I think we all owe her.
Absolutely. We all owe her. Yes, she was a pioneer.
Yeah, she was.
And she mentioned this research of someone, I forgot his name, that worked with this woman that had multiple allergies reactions. Mm-hmm. And he realized that this woman was sitting at a dinner table having this gourmet meal somewhere. I don't remember. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter.
Yeah.
And she was informed that her son was in the army, and she was informed that the USA Army was about to, I don't know, to go where, to, I think, to Libya.
Right.
It wasn't now, it was years ago.
Uh-huh.
And she got so scared. She was sure that her son is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, she felt weak. She had to sit down, and she was really feeling bad. And very shortly after that, she got this sensitivity to so many food.
Interesting.
Different foods. And by the time when he realized that, it was actually everything that she ate in this meal.
Our bodies are so clever, aren't they?
I mean, so this was, when I read this, I thought, wow, this is fascinating.
Absolutely.
So first of all, we have so many levels, you know, levels of experiencing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So many levels of being, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing with allergy as a reaction like this for trauma is something that I thought was interesting, and I started actually making my own little research about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and yes, and I realized that when we can find, okay, when you ask a person when did your allergy begin,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the person can say, you know, 5 years ago or six or whatever,
yeah.
and they can remember a traumatic event
mm-hmm.
that happened at that time,
yeah.
okay, so we're on the right way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know how to work and what to do,
yeah.
But sometimes a person does not remember any traumatic event, and you know, and we would start tapping, and in many occasions, as you know, things will just coming to the surface,
yeah.
slowly, and but sometimes it doesn't happen,
no.
or sometimes it takes a lot of time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So what I realized with the working with allergies is that you start working with a person, and what I would do, I would try and find how the allergies make them feel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then this would be, for me, the underlying traumatic emotion.
Okay.
For example, I worked with this woman that had allergies for 18 years, and she didn't remember any traumatic event. And when we checked how does the allergies make her feel?
Mm-hmm.
She kept saying miserable and hopeless.
Okay.
Miserable and hopeless. And then she realized that's how she really felt 18 years ago. She couldn't remember any traumatic event, but that's how she felt.
Okay.
She had just moved to Israel at the time. Her son was ill. She was feeling miserable and hopeless and helpless. Mm-hmm. Hopeless and helpless. And by revealing the emotion, she could suddenly understand what happened.
Yeah, I think that's very, very interesting because, you know, we're told to look for specific events, specific events, specific events.
Yes.
But people don't necessarily remember them. So
to actually
be following an emotion in that way is great because when people think about trauma, they tend to think, don't they, about huge things. But you just said, well, her son was ill. Well, that's trauma. But people don't kind of recognise it as such. You know, they think they should have a proper trauma, you know.
Right.
Like an accident or something, but it doesn't work that way. So I think following the emotions, that's a great idea.
Yes, but you see, and further on, she felt helpless and miserable, as she said.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole situation, you know, came back and she could remember all the details and she could connect with the situation, etc. But there is something here, it's very delicate, and that's what I think is fascinating. What I realized is that when we experience something, you know, it could be like a capital T trauma or a small T trauma.
Yep.
When we experience something, an emotion, and we suppress it, okay,
yep.
And we don't give it recognition, as happened with this woman, because she was busy with her son, because he was the sick one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So she had to deal with him, and she had to take care of him, and etc.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So her emotions and did not get any recognition.
So they're shouting. So they're shouting to get recognized. Is that what
you're saying? Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So this, they're shouting, as you said. They're trying to come back again and again and again and again, because they were suppressed and they were unrecognized and they're probably important to be recognized. You know, it doesn't happen with everything that we don't relate to or we don't recognize. It's of course with major things. And so I realized that actually allergies can be a great gate to understand what did we suppress or ignored, or what needs to be recognized because we need it for our growth, for our emotional growth, for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. I think that the body speaks to us all the time, but we just tend not to listen to it.
Right.
And it never lies.
Right.
Yeah, we can fool ourselves, can't we, consciously?
We can absolutely, because it's very, you know, it's very complex, the whole thing. So we can get lost, not just fool ourselves.
Absolutely. So give me an example of kind of how would you work with a child? That's supposing a baby comes, you know, often babies are born and they have eczema and things, which to me is an allergy. How would you work with that? Because obviously you can't ask it about specific events. What would you do? Or emotions, for that matter.
Right. This is of course a different area, as you said, because we can't work with a baby and ask him and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do, I would work with the mother.
Yep. Absolutely.
I would ask her mainly about the time of the pregnancy and the birth.
Mm-hmm.
Now the truth is that many times mothers themselves don't remember or don't recognize certain things as traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And I know maybe I'm not giving a good advice to people here, because I don't know if many people can use it, but what I do, I would do surrogate tapping.
Yep.
And when I do surrogate tapping, many times I would just get the information, you know.
Uh-huh.
I would get it.
So you do surrogate tapping on the mother or with the mother, yeah?
No, I would do surrogate tapping on the baby.
Okay.
Okay, and I would take get a lot of information from the mother, and if I have the information, great. If I don't have the information, I would do the surrogate tapping, like I did with this baby that, this was many years ago actually, that had the mucus in his lungs for a long time. He was about 7 months old. And he had this terrible cough. Nothing worked, you know.
Yeah.
And when I did the tapping, and this one, it was the seventh child of this mother.
Wow.
And when I did the tapping, I got this feeling or idea, or, you know, and I called her and I said, exceptionally hard for this baby to separate from you? Mm-hmm. And she said, yes, absolutely. He's different than all the other kids. Mm-hmm. And then I want to say I got this information. I don't like these expressions, these terms so much, to be honest with you.
No.
It's intuition, okay?
Intuition. Yeah, absolutely.
It's intuition. Yeah. It was so hard for this baby to separate from the mother that it was actually keeping some of the liquids.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
To keep her attention?
Sorry,
I was going to interrupt just to say, was he trying to get her attention or something?
No. He was just trying to keep some of the liquids from the uterus.
Oh, okay.
Inside him, okay? Uh-huh. It's like keeping this contact and keeping, being a part of her.
Uh-huh, okay. Wow, amazing.
And yes, and you know, it's just a speculation, but the truth is that it worked. Because once I tapped on this for him as a surrogate, and you know what, after 2 days, it was gone.
How amazing is that?
So, yes, it was amazing and very touching.
Mm. And I mean, I don't believe that, well, as yet, we've got any other technique that can do that sort of thing so effectively for, you know, release on behalf of somebody else.
Yes, it's very unusual. And, you know, sometimes people ask me, how do I explain it? How does it work?
Mm.
And I say, I don't know, but I look at it as like praying, you know, when you pray for someone.
Yep, absolutely. I think that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
Exactly what it is. I mean, the power of prayer, there's all these experiments now, aren't there, about the power of prayer.
Right,
the power of
yes.
intention, actually.
Yes.
Setting your intention. Yeah, which
and also, you know, we're all connected, as we all know.
Of course we are, yes. But I do. I'm a firm believer in the setting the intention before any session, anyway, for the, you know, the utmost gain for the person that you're working with.
Yes.
So, but that's an amazing story with a little baby.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me about how EFT is going in Israel, because I know it's actually quite big there, isn't it?
Yes, it's very exciting. Mm. Because it's growing, like everywhere else, you know.
Yep, yep.
It's growing. You know, I read once, not a long time ago, statistics that, you know, comparing the population, you know, all these, you know, details, that Israel has the highest rate, or maybe one of the highest rates of percentage of therapists compared to the population.
Wow.
Wow. Yes.
Why do you think that is?
I think, first of all, because we need it.
Yes, yep.
Right, we need it. Mm-hmm. Second thing, I believe that energetically, Israel is a very, very strong place.
Yes.
And, you know, we all know it. Unfortunately, people are involved in this way or another in Israel, always with problems and politics and all that. But nevertheless, it's a strong place.
Absolutely.
So I think that many people really connect with this energy.
Mm.
And people are doing an amazing, amazing work here.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes, yes, yes. It's exciting.
Mm.
And so EFT is growing.
Good, good, good.
And I think, you know, I would like to say one thing. I think we all feel and think the same about it. There is a problem with EFT, with the reputation of EFT, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That it's, you know, for years it was presented like something very simple, fast,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's one miracle, one minute, 5 minutes, okay? 5 minutes, let's be generous. 5 minutes, a miracle technique. And many people still learn it this way and still use it this way.
Yeah.
And teach it this way. Mm. And I think it's a pity. I think it's a pity because...
We're more complex than that, aren't we, for a start?
Yes.
But having said which, I think it's also great that people can download it for free and just have a go with it.
Absolutely.
But
this is a big present, and maybe this is a time to thank again to Gary Craig, which will always have this warm corner in my heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he did an amazing, amazing job in getting the EFT out there. But I would agree with you that it's actually not that simple. It's not that one-minute wonder. I mean, yes, everybody can get a one-minute wonder on a piece of an issue.
Exactly.
But actually to collapse a big issue such as an allergy,
yes,
you know, that's going to take more work, more detective work, actually, as much as anything else. You know, asking the right questions.
Yes, but you know what, Emma? I think allergies is one of the fields, one of the areas that we can get quick results relatively.
Well, I still believe that you could clear, you know, maybe in an hour session or something. In comparison, yes, to other methods, it's still enormously fast. But I think people, yes, set themselves up for a fall if they expect everything to shift in one round of EFT, which a lot of people when they're starting out do.
Right.
And then it doesn't, and they think that they're a failure or EFT doesn't work. Neither of which are actually the case.
It's right.
Just, you know, Gary always goes on about persistence.
Yeah. But you know what I was thinking lately?
Mm.
What is, you know, many times you would hear about these miracles,
mm-hmm,
this beginner's luck, right?
Yep, yep.
There's this expression. And I was thinking lately, what is it? What is this thing that is called beginner? What is it? What is it? What's this phenomenon of beginner's luck? Because it works. I mean, you see it. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to understand, what's the secret?
I'm not sure. It's an interesting question. I wonder whether it's kind of lack of expectation. But having said which, most people do have expectations.
Uh-huh.
Lack of expectation of outcome, possibly. I don't know, actually.
So, you see, it's an interesting question, right? Because then I'll tell you what I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought that beginners are so specific.
Are they?
About if they understand, okay?
Yeah.
Then they're so specific, they don't tend to go deep inside to the complexion of whatever subject they deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they actually tap, let's say they tap on the symptom,
yeah,
or they tap on something very, very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what it is.
Well, certainly tapping very specifically will get much quicker shifts than global, but I'm wondering whether these beginner's luck, the one-minute wonders, as you say, whether they actually are, whether that's, you know, if you interviewed them a year later, whether that is still the case. I don't know. Probably, maybe it is. I don't know.
Because, you know, once in a while I would go back to see the DVDs of Gary Craig.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're invaluable. It's such a shame.
Right.
Such a shame they're not available, because I don't think there is a better learning out there than studying those DVDs.
It's unbelievable, because I would watch Gary Craig again and to get inspired and to get, you know.
Absolutely.
And I see that Gary works really like one specific little piece at a time.
Absolutely, and that is key. I mean, literally, yes, sort of no more than a five-minute movie, if you're doing the movie technique, for instance, and then getting down to the key moment in that might be a word or, you know, a look or something.
Right,
That's when it collapses, I think.
Right.
And that's actually what people don't get often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember Sunai teaching, it was a level one, and we drummed it in as specific. I mean, actually, according to one of our assistants, more than we do normally, even. And then, you know, we're doing a demo with somebody and not getting anywhere on this specific event. And when asked how long this ran for, he goes, oh, about 30 years. And you think, hang on, mate, you've been here for the last, you know, last day, and you kind of, we've been going over the top about specifics, and, you know, you're not hearing it. I think people do hear what they're meant to hear, what they want to hear.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyway, we had to change that one. He got it in the end.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it's a good learning that even when you drum this in, it doesn't necessarily get received.
Right.
Initially, we don't think in specific events. We think
it's hard for us to think. I mean, at least for me, okay? For
well,
some people,
for everybody. No, I think for most people, the brain doesn't work that way, does it?
You know what? I think that people that are more analytical,
yeah,
and more, you know, left brain oriented,
mm-hmm,
they can really take something and cut it into small pieces, you know, and separate and look at, you know, when someone is more right brain oriented, I think, and in any case, you have this tendency to see the whole picture from above, and the more of the experience. It's harder to get to go into the small little pieces and say, it's just different. It's a skill.
It's a skill, because I mean, how many clients arrive at you? They'll turn up to you with an allergy and they'll go, I'm allergic to, let's say, wheat. But that's massively global. So your skill is to kind of, as you were saying, get down for specific events or the specific emotions connected to that thought, and work with them. But until we know that's what we need to do, people don't do it. Clients don't show up with a nice little list of specific events on the whole. Anyway, so thank you for you. That's been a really, really interesting talk, and the allergies are, you know, fantastic work. Can you imagine what would happen if people get out there and work with allergies in the way that you do? How the world would change.
It would be fantastic.
It would be wonderful.
Yes. So
tell me something, because as you've said to me before, your website is mainly in Hebrew, and obviously that's not of a huge amount of use to the people over here. Some of them, absolutely, but not everybody. So could you let me know how people can get in touch with you for more information about your work, and, you know, whether you're coming over to London? Well, I know you're coming over to London at some point.
Yes, I'm planning. About my website, it's true that most of it is in Hebrew, but if one goes into my website, which is www.positive-eft.com.
Did you say dash?
Dash, yes.
Okay, yep.
If you go in there, so most of it is in Hebrew, but there's a section that's called free stuff. Mm-hmm. And once you click on it, so the all the three left columns is contact.
Right.
One says English, and then there are articles in English.
Oh, okay, great.
And also videos that are in English, of course. A collection of the videos that I like.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So there is an amount of a certain amount of information and stuff in my website.
How would people contact you? What, on email or?
Yes, there is a section there, contact, and then one can send me an email.
Okay.
It's an occasion. You know, it's an opportunity here for me to say that I love doing phone sessions.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I love it. It was a challenge in the beginning because I thought, I don't see the brand, But then I realized that it has many, many, many advantages, and I actually love it.
Absolutely. And also, you can do sessions on Skype. I mean, we're doing this session on Skype, aren't we? And it's very clear.
Right.
So, absolutely. So you're there. Doesn't matter whereabouts in the world people are. They can always get hold of you on Skype or for a phone session. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yes.
Wonderful.
And then in the English section, I think that these two stories... one of the working with this woman with allergies to flowers, which is a fascinating case, and also this case with the baby with the mucus. So, if anyone wants to read it, you can just go in the website and read it.
Fantastic, brilliant. So, is there anything else you'd like to add that people need to know, or you'd like people to know about your work, particularly with allergies?
I would like to give a tip.
Go for it.
Okay. To give a tip to people that are just starting with EFT, but I think that it's a good one for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that through the years, I realized that tapping, when we are in a certain situation, and actually we're tuned in. We're tuned in, because if I'm, for example, experiencing something now. I'm talking about using EFT for the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
So all we have to do is just tap. You know, we don't have to be dealing with the sentence, the reminder phrases, or anything of that. Because when a person is experiencing something now, and it's present now, and it's in the system, and it's there, so all we have to do is just tap.
Absolutely. So that's your message here. Just tap.
Just tap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, you know, when we are experiencing something now. Like, let's say, you know, one is feeling fear or anger or what, any kind of emotion now.
Mm-hmm.
To use it. So it's so simple.
It is.
It's so simple and so effective.
Absolutely. And I think what you're saying too is just don't worry about the words in that situation, which people do get very hung up with the words and then they get out of the emotion and, going with the tapping.
We don't need any wording. We don't need it because the reason for the wording is in order to bring the emotion to the surface.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you don't need it. It's there.
No. Well, I think that's actually a really, really useful tip. So thank you very much. That's great. All right. Well, it's lovely to speak to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Emma. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And as you know, we'll put this recording onto our website, but also when our next newsletter goes out, we'll send links to that. So if anybody wants to contact Ilana, there she is.
Thank you very much.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye. Bye.